Professor Secord, how much of our present approach comes from the World War II experience? I'm thinking in particularly of the crisis of World War II, this huge crisis that led to the Manhattan Project, that led to taking Albert Einstein's theories and turning them into the atom bomb in this race for survival.
In a way, if you look at the last half century of scientific development, the Manhattan Project has always been our kind of utopian blueprint for the way that science might be, that we could get a big project, get lots of people together, and solve the problem. And a lot of the attempts to do that kind of work haven't been all that successful. The war on cancer, which obviously has had some successes, but hasn't had the kind of success that might be expected. And again, the fusion project has had successes, but not the kind of, you know, instant fix that I think people expected, you know, might come through that. And in fact, if you look, it's often, I mean, the genome project is another example where they put lots of money into something, but it was very distributed among large numbers of small groups of people. It was, in some sense, small science being done with big funds. And we may need more of that kind of work in order to make this work.
And I also have to wonder if the World War II model is missing a piece when we apply it in modern times. There was no expense spared on the Manhattan Project. If those researchers had needed the entire city of New York to do what they were doing, they would have gotten it. But today, on these, quote, large projects, nonetheless, there are some financial constraints that are imposed. Fusion, for example. So I'm just wondering if the problem is sort of a half a loaf approach, that maybe the Manhattan Project approach would work if you truly went for it. But we don't quite, do we?
That's very hard to say. I mean, partly I think it depends on being involved in the intimate details of the science. But I think there is an issue of the way that a lot of problems now that we have relate to the issues of how humans relate to machines. And I think quite often we think that the best thing is to get one large machine or one large system that's going to solve the problem. I think quite often what we need is something that engineers humans into those situations much more closely. I mean, if you think one of the great inventions in transportation in the last few decades was the interstate system. But what people really forgot in doing that was how to use some of the older systems that they had, like rail and even something as simple as the bicycle, which doesn't fit very well in many ways with the way in which transportation actually works in large cities now. It's I think, thinking about that relationship between humans and machines that needs to be rethought. In some ways, if we're looking for a big revolution in science, it may come from rethinking humans and the social sciences back into the sciences, especially in terms of ones that involve questions of energy use, transport, and other issues of everyday life.